Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Where did those words come from? I've said them thousands of times now in my life at the beginning of a sermon. Are they just babble? It's just kind of like saying, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, hurry up, let's eat kind of prayer. Those words are from the Apostle Paul. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Paul's letters, we discover much of the deep doctrine, the deep teaching of our faith that helps us move beyond simply knowing the story of Jesus' death and his resurrection, but helps us to understand how God saved us, how he has declared us to be not guilty for Christ's sake through faith. This summer, I had an opportunity to work on a project, a long project, and that was to take a look at every use of the word grace in the New Testament, and to look at it in context, to make sure I translated it from the original, because a lot of times English translations are sloppy, and translating the word grace with the word favor, and it just gets to be a mess. And one of the things that stood out for me, there were many things in that study this summer, but one of the things that stood out in the midst of all that was a reminder that in every one of Paul's epistles, he always began within one of the first few verses of the epistle, of his letter, and then within one of the last couple of verses of that letter, that he shared the word grace. It's there in every single one of them. So he began and he ended in grace. No matter whether he was yelling at the Corinthian believers because of the abuses within their congregation, or whether he was encouraging the church in Philippi because he was sitting in prison, or whether he was laying out the deep teachings of the faith in the book of Romans, as he was beginning the letter, as he concluded the letter, it always was with grace. And so that thought of grace beginning to end is going to be our fall theme today and for the next three weekends after this as well. It's part of our stewardship theme as we think about where is God leading us to, what kinds of commitments in our lives with our time and our talents and our treasures, what is God leading us to do, but to think about all that underneath the umbrella of grace. Grace beginning to end. Here's a graphic that we've developed to think about that grace beginning to end, and that's with those dominoes that I was asking for a few weeks ago. You might have seen a poster on your way in this morning, the word grace spelled out with dominoes, and they're starting to fall down. Actually, that was kind of a fun project. I got to play a little bit, set up some dominoes and make them all fall down, and watching that go. Understanding whether it was the first domino or the last one that fell down, it was all part of that grace. A little surprise, a little mistake, I suppose, on my part. The little crossbar on the A didn't quite fall down when it went down, and I didn't have time to reset them all and do it all over again. But I thought, in a way, it's kind of how God's grace is, isn't it? It's never done. It's always covering, always pervasive. We swim around in that grace. Grace beginning to end. Maybe later this month we'll have a little bit of an activity with some dominoes together. Who knows? It's appropriate for us to begin this emphasis on grace beginning to end this morning, because today we do celebrate Reformation Sunday. We celebrate how God did use Martin Luther on October 31st of 1517. The world wants to get caught up in costume parties and trick-or-treating, and we're saying, wow, October 31st, that's the 95 Theses Day. That's the day that God started changing the church, dragging it out of the dark ages as it had plunged into saying, well, church is about do this, try harder, pay a little bit more, and you can get God to like you. But Luther, God working through him, beginning with those statements, those 95, but not ending there. Reform the church, calling it back to the true gospel. Grace alone becomes the hallmark in the center there on the altar. Grace alone. Grace beginning to end is our theme for today. And this morning, we especially think of this week's theme is the aroma of grace. And so I'd like us to take a look at the text for this morning. It's printed in your bulletin. And I'm tired of congregational members being so passive and just saying, sermon, it's time for me to kind of chill out, waste 20 minutes, and then move on and go get the donut. Okay. So we're going to read these words together. So find them in your bulletin on page 5. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 17. Read them with me. But grace is with God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. Thinking about that aroma. So what do you smell like? Oh, did that make you a little uncomfortable? What do you smell like? Oh, shower, check. Deodorant, check. Cologne, perfume, check. Well, we're all good. We can sit next to each other this morning. I'm not really worried about that physical smell. What I'm talking about is that as we live out our lives, what is the overall aroma that people are experiencing by being in our presence? Paul was determined, as we just read in that text, Paul was determined to leave behind him the sweet fragrance of God's grace. If you put 1 and 2 Corinthians together, you find in 1 Corinthians that Paul really had to take the Corinthian Christians to task. There are a lot of messes that he was trying to help them deal with. If you read through 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the first 13 verses, which we didn't look at this morning, what you'd find is now Paul is saying, okay, we dealt with that, we've confronted it, now it's time for you all as a congregation to forgive, to restore, to build up. And he says, I'm doing that, I hold nothing against you, let's live in the grace of God. That was his message. He was encouraging them to live in God's grace. It's amazing. With all the duties and responsibilities that Paul had for trying to keep the plate spinning on all the different congregations, as he's writing to this one in Corinth, was full of a bunch of haughty people who had thought that they were okay all on their own. Paul didn't use that now as an excuse to be mean. Instead, you see his pastoral heart. He reaches out to that group of Christians and he says, what I want to do is share the aroma of grace among you. Paul just smelled of God's grace. But you know, life doesn't always smell that good, does it? Sometimes life stinks. Think about our world. Think about the week that we just went through right here in our own country. We see another community now out in Washington ripped apart by yet another school shooting. And we know we can't just keep ignoring those and say, well, that happened somewhere else. Because all these communities where it happens are just like ours. And we think about the kids. Yeah, they have a week off of school this week as they try to adjust, but a week from tomorrow, they're all going to have to go back and walk into that cafeteria where a friend of theirs or more were killed. Parents are crying. Grandparents can't send Christmas gifts to those kids who were killed. There's terror. Terror in our streets and in our schools, in our communities. Doesn't smell very good, does it? Stock market plunged 6% in a week. That's a bunch, isn't it? Terrorists can storm through the Canadian capital. And then we compound that with the further ongoing threats of more beheadings from ISIS. And all of that, that's the stuff in general. But you have your own personal stuff. The stuff that fills you with fear and hurt. The stuff that terrorizes your own dreams at night. The reality that people that you care about die. And yes, sometimes it becomes necessary to even have to go to the funeral home and pay your respects. Then there's the reality, as we take a look inside of our hearts, that we find that stench of death going on there too. The stench of the sinful nature that always wants to raise its ugly head in rebellion against God and in deliberate attempts to hurt each other. Life stinks, doesn't it? But you see, we're here this morning because we believe that God changes that stench and replaces it with the sweet aroma of His grace. So I was thinking about that. I couldn't help but think about the Bible story of Lazarus when Jesus raised him up from the dead. Getting to Bethany 4 days after Lazarus' death, Jesus goes out to the tomb to raise Lazarus from the dead. He says, "Roll the stone back." And everybody objects and says, "No, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He's going to stink." Because death stinks, doesn't it? Lord, he'll stink. And maybe it's even true about you that there is somebody who would actually pray to the Lord about you and say, "Lord, stay away from that person because they stink. They don't deserve you, Lord." But the Lord Jesus Christ insisted that that stone be rolled back. And he called out to Lazarus with that clear voice, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus didn't stink anymore. The shroud of death didn't enfold him. He comes out fully alive, sweet smelling now, because God had changed his life. In our baptisms, we have experienced that same miraculous effort of Jesus. He has buried our sins with him through baptism into his death, in order that in connection with his resurrection, we too might walk in newness of life. In Romans 6, that great baptism chapter, the Apostle Paul said, "So, because you've been baptized in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive." Count yourselves alive to God in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means that we smell good. We are alive again, and our lives shared with the world get to be that sweet aroma of the grace of God that we share with everybody around us. This morning, we think about Martin Luther. God used Martin Luther, albeit costing Luther a lot, a bunch. But God used Luther to bring that sweet aroma of the gospel to the world in a time where the church was wandering away completely from his grace, from that good news, from the gospel. Do a little bit more, try a little bit harder, pay more money, and God will like you. Luther focused on the gospel, a gospel that he discovered when he read those words, which we heard in the epistle reading from Romans chapter 3, especially verse 28, "For we maintain that a person is justified, declared not guilty. And a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law." Sticking to that proclamation, no matter how high the cost, became the smell of Luther's life. And the result is that you and I are here this morning, being able to breathe in that sweet smell of knowing that Jesus did it all for us on the cross. We are forgiven. love saying those words. I love smelling those words. We are forgiven. So today we begin to ask ourselves, what do we smell like? When someone spends some time with you, and I'm not talking about the superficial perceptions that we are so prone to accept and gather about each other, but I mean when someone actually spends an afternoon with you, someone spends a week with you, somebody works with you and is around you a lot, when somebody really gets to know you, what do they smell? Do they smell someone trying to take advantage of them? Trying to maneuver them around and manipulate them here or there? Do they feel fear? Do they feel discomfort? Or do they smell the heart of someone whose heart has been changed? Do they smell the heart of someone who has tasted of the Lord's goodness and kindness and longs to share it? Do they smell someone who is determined to lay down their life in service for their neighbor? Do they smell someone with a heart that longs for the next moment to tell the story of Jesus, and not just as some ancient story, but a very vivid, alive story of the Lord Jesus Christ who has come into this life, our lives, to change us forever? All of that is the smell of grace. Those smells don't make us somebody. Those smells smell because God already has made us somebody. He has called us to faith, making us to be heirs of the kingdom of God. As Paul thought about this, I'm supposed to smell like Jesus all the time, to be the sweet-smelling aroma. Paul says in our text, well, who is up to such a task? The obvious answer to his question is, no one is. Except for the fact that Paul could do what he did because of God's grace. Was Martin Luther up to the task? Oh, we could poke holes at Martin Luther's writings here or there and say, what was he thinking about with that? What was he thinking about here? But he was up to the task of focusing with laser accuracy on the gospel because of God's grace. You may not feel up to the challenge that you face in life right now, however dark those challenges might be. And yet, as we sang in Martin Luther's hymn right at the beginning of worship this morning, take they, goods, fame, who's the they? All the devils that fill the world, take they, goods, fame, child, and wife, let these all be gone, and still have nothing won. Why? For the kingdom ours remaineth. That kingdom is God's grace. And today is a day that we get to share the aroma of that grace. As we think about now this month, the ministry here at St. John, we recognize that times are changing. And this is certainly not the age of our grandfathers or great-great-grandfathers anymore. Times and circumstances will constantly change here at St. John. The playing field will get switched over 100 times over. But we know that one thing never changes. St. John exists for one purpose and one purpose only, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ so that through his death and resurrection, God can create life. And so in this month of contemplation, saying, God, how can you use me? We think, we pray, we're determined to say, God, what do you want me to smell like? And then we are determined that it will all be grace, beginning to end. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.